Let's turn together in God's Word to the book of Genesis, chapter 11. We'll be reading in Genesis, chapter 11, starting at verse 27, and reading down through chapter 12, verse 9. Let's hear God's Word. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from the land of Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Morah. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel. And having pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Our gracious, everlasting Father, it is such a privilege to have this holy book which tells us everything we need to know for life and godliness. And gracious God, as we open it this morning, we pray that each one of us would be attentive unto your most holy words. Grant, O Lord, that we might hear and understand and obey. Make us like unto Abraham. Our Father, we pray that we would be found having his faith and following in his footsteps. We ask it in Jesus. Amen. Now, this morning, we're going to look again in the Bible to the book of Hebrews. And we'll take our text this morning in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. The verse that looks at this very event. As you're turning there, I think you know the context here. We read about faith that is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And then our text. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he was going, whither he went. Now, as we come to this text, it's good to stop and think about Hebrews 11. Why is it there? Is it there just to give us a bunch of nice stories about men who did amazing things? Is it there just to put on display the doctrine of faith? No, as we look at this, we're seeing a whole roll call of all these men and women who lived out God's grace in their life, who, having received the gospel, seized hold of it and went forward trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, looking forward by faith to the hope that was to come, the hope that you have received. Jesus Christ having come in the flesh, come into this world, the whole gospel having opened up. Here we talk of the people who had seen it afar off and yet clung to the promises by faith. Now that's not there just for our intellectual interest. It's there to stir you and me up to follow in their footsteps, following them, following the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the beginning of chapter 12. How it says, now, you've seen all this. What are we to do? Go. You look back into the end of chapter 10, back in verse 19. We have boldness because of Christ to enter in. So draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, because he is faithful who promised. This passage isn't here for our intellectual interest. It's here to encourage us to follow in the path of faith. Now, when we look at verse 8, what do we see? We see Abram. We see the big swath of years and years where God calls him and he gets up and he goes. He goes to a place that he doesn't know where he's going. God doesn't tell him. He says, Abram, get up. You go where I tell you to go. On that day that the Lord appeared in that vision, he doesn't say where he's going, but he tells Abram to go. And so, as we look at this, I have a question for you. Do you have the faith to go wherever Christ wants to send you? Are you willing to go wherever God wants you to go without question, simply because that is the call that you have received, and you will follow wherever the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to serve him? As we look at this, I'm going to ask you three questions out of this text. The first is the question, what does the Lord Jesus Christ expect us to do? What does Christ expect of us as his followers? Well, look down at your text and you see what Abraham was expected to do. The Lord appears to him in a vision far off in Mesopotamia. And he says, Abram, go. What does Abraham do? He goes. We read about the way he first goes to Haran, and then he's moved on to Canaan. Abraham did exactly what God told him to do. He left comfortable Mesopotamia, which obviously was probably a better place than Canaan. He left his homeland, his family, he left everything to go wherever God was going to have him go. Now, what about us? Now, Christ calls us to do many things in this world. You know the first thing he calls us to do? To repent and believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. He expects that of every one of us. And just because we're sitting here in a chapel, in a seminary, doesn't mean that every one of us has heeded that call. I teach in a seminary in Zambia, and I can say with absolute confidence that I have had students in our chapel who are unconverted. And I know even from my time in seminary that there were men who seemed not to have embraced Christ and the promises in him. And it's always good for us to remember that without this faith in Christ, none of the rest matters at all. We can't go any further unless we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether faculty or students, whether the ones who stand in this pulpit, we all stand by faith in Christ. If we have not heeded the gospel call to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have no hope. But having come to Christ, we're all called to now continue in him, to pursue holiness with all of our strength, to follow after him and to follow in his ways, to put off the flesh and to pursue the Spirit. You are called here as you are in this place to seek to be holy men of God, to flee the flesh and to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are so many calls that Christ gives to every one of us in the church. But when we're here in this place, we're dealing mostly, not entirely, with men who have received a further call. You've received a call to serve the Lord, a call to leave your home, to come here, and to go out wherever God's going to send you in his service. I suspect you have felt that internal call, that compulsion from the Holy Spirit that you must go out in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ to minister to his people. You are called to be a servant of your master in his house. It's been confirmed to at least some degree, because you've been sent here. Someone has made it so that you are here, either teaching, whether training, whatever it is, you have had that call confirmed to some degree. Your teachers, students, these are men who have had that call, who've had it confirmed, who have ministered to the Lord, and now are here training you. All of us who are in that place have had some steps along the way, whether you're at the very beginning are even getting close to the end. Now, when you receive that call, the normal way is that God gives you a sense that you need to go and serve him. But he doesn't say, and this is the place. Now, I do know men who, even from the time that they received the call to the ministry, had a strong sense that the Lord wanted them in a specific place. And I know men who've had that internal call confirmed by the church, and everyone can see that, yes, that is where the Lord wanted them. But I would say for most of you, it's probably the case that you have received a call to go and serve the Lord. But like Abraham, he hasn't yet told you where to go. You don't know. So how do we know? How do we find out? The Lord's not going to appear to you in a vision. The Lord Jesus isn't going to be standing and saying, "Young man, you go here." Those days are past. But how do we know? Ordinarily, what happens? A congregation's going to call you. You're going to pray. You're going to seek for counsel. You're going to get a sense that, yes, this is what the Lord wants. Those around you are going to get a sense of it. The Lord uses His church. And Christ's expectation is that you are going to hear that call when you are called to that place. So the question I want to ask you is, are you willing to answer whatever call Christ gives you without exception? If it's clear that He is wanting you to go somewhere, are you willing to be as Abraham was and go wherever you are called? When I first went to Zambia, the first night I was in Zambia, I had the privilege of going to a missions meeting at a local church. And in that missions meeting, there was another missionary. They were about to go out to the Zambezi. Place is rough. They were going to a reached people group, reached by the Roman Catholics, the Mormons, and the Jehovah's Witnesses. Tough place, right on the Zambezi. There is a man from Lebanon that was passing through, and you know Lebanon's not an easy place. There I was sitting, I'm about to go out to the eastern province. And the pastor did something he later told me he never does, save on the odd occasion. He looked out at the congregation and said, "Look at these white people. They're going out into the provinces. You won't go." He said to them, "You're only happy to go to the big city. You want to stay in the capital, live a comfortable life. You won't go to help your brothers in the fields." When I was a student at Greenville, I can remember having a conversation with a dear brother. Thankfully, I don't remember his name. I don't remember which one it was. I can remember what he told me. "I will never minister outside the southern states. I would never go up north to those Yankees. I can't do that." That's a fairly stark statement. But what about you? What call will you consider? Think about it in your own heart. Are you wanting to limit yourself to a certain socioeconomic status? Are you wanting to go into a church with your ethnic peers? Are you wanting to go into a church that is going to fit you and where you are today? Are you only willing to answer a call that fits your preconceived notions of where you want to be? Are you going to limit it to certain countries, certain parts of certain countries? Are you going to say, "God can't call me except where I want to go, where it's going to be comfortable"? Are you going to limit it to a certain caliber of congregation? Only ones that are far enough along that they're going to be able to meet you where you want to be? In your own heart, where are you? Are you already setting in your mind, "This is what I want," and thinking about it in such a way that if the Lord brings in a call from somewhere else, you're going to think, "No, that's not what I'm looking for"? That's a temptation I think, if we're honest, all of us are going to face in some way or another. Every one of us has what we like, what we want to do. You know, there are people who go into missions because they like to travel. They like to see exotic places. There are people who stay home because they like the comforts of the city. But these things can be simply because of our own selfish desires, rather than because that's really what the Lord was calling us to go and do. We can be like the man who said to Jesus, "Let me bury my father." That's a good thing to take care of your parents. But there are times that I have seen men who clearly are getting a call to go somewhere and they're saying, "No, I need to stay close to my family. I can't make that sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not willing to go because I look at the cost and it is too great." It would be as if Abraham was sitting there in Ur and the Lord Jesus appears to him and he says, "But my family's here. I can't leave. All my friends are here. I won't go." You could be, in a sense, like Jonah. "Those people. Here, I've been sent to my people, Israel, and there is no chance that I'm going to go to the enemy of my people and minister to them." In Zambia, we have the Nyao dancers. And there are many men who just won't go and minister to them, because they're wicked people and they don't want to go anywhere near them. I've met men who just won't handle it. Why? Because of their own personal animosity. We can be like Balaam. He stubbornly went on exactly doing what he wanted to do. You know the way that the Lord stopped him. Or we can be like that man who came to the Lord Jesus Christ saying, "What shall I do?" and went away sorrowing. Why? Because he wouldn't give up his riches. He wouldn't give up his own comforts. As a missionary, this is something I do hear a lot going around. "I could never do what you do because..." And then they list something, "Oh, there's snakes," or "We don't have stable electricity," or "It's not close enough to my family." It's, "I can't do this because it is something I personally can't handle." What is that? It's called unbelief. It's saying, "I can't." What is it? That's all about me. I can't do it. Do you think I can do it? No. But he can. And if the Lord Jesus Christ calls you to a place, he is going to give you the strength to go. He is going to hold you up and sustain you through that. I would encourage you, brothers, be like Ruth. What does she say? "I will go wherever you go." Be like Abraham. Wherever God calls, take on that challenge that he sends you. Be open to hear whatever call the Lord puts in your life. Don't just reject the hard call, the uncomfortable call, the foreign call. Consider that call that takes you out of your own personal little comfort zone where you like to live. Be willing to listen to the Lord and accept that he may want you to go somewhere that you would hesitate to go. Now, I can't tell you where to go. And I can't tell you that the Lord isn't going to call you to a large church in a metropolitan area right around your family. That may be his will for your life. But what I would encourage you to think is that you need to be willing to go wherever he calls. Don't say, "No, I won't." Turn your heart to say, "Lord, wherever you call, I will follow." Follow Abraham as he followed Christ. Abraham followed the Lord without questioning. Is that going to be you? Now, how can we do this? Is this something we do because we have the personality to do it, because we're that type of guy who can just go and seize a challenge? No. We can only do this by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham obeyed because he trusted God. He was willing to go because he believed that the Lord is and that he was able. He trusted that the Lord would keep him in his hands. It's doubt and fear that keep us back. What keeps us back from answering the call of God? It's our own lack of faith. Don't be like Abraham's descendants. Here they are standing on the edge of the land of promise. And what do they see? They see the giants. They see the problems. And they don't go in. And what happened? They wandered in the wilderness for so many years. Don't follow that example of unbelief. Don't say, oh, I can't take this call because the congregation is just too small. I can't take this call because they're asking me to do work on the side and there is no way that I can get a job and minister to God's people. Don't say, oh, I can't take this call because that's not my nation. That's another one. Don't say, I can't take this call because this is a remote area and I want to live in the city. Or this is in a city and I like the farmland. Consider and prayerfully listen and ask, will I go wherever? Because I trust God that wherever He sends me, He will take care of me. Abraham trusted in God, took him at his word. If it's clear that the Lord is calling you somewhere, what should you do? You should go forward in absolute childlike confidence that if the Lord wants you there, He'll take care of you. He'll provide for you. You know, students, this is true for you. It's also true for the faculty. Coming to teach at a place like this is an enormous challenge. It's a serious responsibility. And you know that the Lord holds these men to a high standard. There's a greater judgment that comes upon the teacher. They had to seriously consider and weigh and meditate upon a call to come here. Just as you have to meditate and weigh the call to go wherever the Lord would send you. And the same thing is true for any of us. Just because we're here today, just because they're teachers. Maybe tomorrow the Lord's going to issue a call and they're going to have to consider that. Maybe it will be you. But will you respond with absolute childlike trust that the Lord will take care of you? He'll provide for you. He'll equip you to do whatever He wants you to do. I would encourage you in this as well. You know, if you simply follow in this faith and say, Lord, you call, I will go, this pleases God. You know, it says that faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. What's the opposite of that? If you follow the Lord by faith in absolute confidence that He is going to provide for you in whatever place He puts you, you will bring delight to God. What an amazing thing that is to think that we poor sinners, when the Lord is working in us and by grace we're going forward, trusting in Him as His children, we're brought into this place that we can delight our gracious God. What a privilege it is. What an amazing thought it is that if we go forward in faith, we will please the eternal, omnipotent God who made us. It's not only that. The third thing I'd ask is, what promises does Christ give to those who hear and obey to bring encouragement to our hearts? Well, think about Abraham here. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he would after receive for an inheritance. And as we read at the end of, or the beginning of, Genesis chapter 12, you know that God said, look, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you into a great nation. All the world is going to be blessed in you. In Hebrews, we see the promise of the land. in Genesis, the promise of the people. And so Abraham was told, you go, and you're going to be receiving incredible blessings. What about us? I could take you to countless promises poured out in God's holy word. But I want to remind you of one. Something you know quite well. The end of Matthew. The Great Commission. We hear about that so much. You know, it's especially spoken to you who are in the service of Christ. What does he say in that word? I will be with you. And I tell you the truth. If the Lord Jesus Christ has put a call on your heart and he sends you to a congregation, he makes a promise. He says, I will be with you. What does that mean? He's going to help you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to enable you. What more encouragement do you need to go wherever Jesus Christ wants you to go than the Lord Jesus saying, I'm sending you, you go, and wherever you go, I will always and ever be with you to help you and strengthen you and cause you to stand so that you can do the work that I've called you to do. This should answer our every fear and doubt. When the Lord calls us, he says, I'll be with you, I'll help you. What greater encouragement can we have than Jesus Christ himself, our strength, to enable us to fulfill the call he has placed in our life? Here we see Abraham taking an incredible call, and we should never underplay this, leaving everything he knew to go somewhere he didn't know where he was going. And you too, brothers, the Lord has given you an amazing call to go and minister the word, to take care of men and women's souls. He's going to send you somewhere. I would encourage you, listen to his voice. Go wherever he calls you in hope that wherever he calls you, he will be with you to strengthen you and help you. He will be your blessing and exceeding great reward. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious and holy Father, you know that the call to the ministry is an amazing thing. And that each one of us who has received this call then has to face difficult choices at many times and many places in our lives. And we ask our God that you would give us that faith that Abraham had, that childlike, complete trust to go wherever we are called to go. We pray, O Lord, as we are enabled to answer that call, that we would be strengthened and helped, and that you would always be with us, and that you would be our reward, our strength, our shield, our all and in all. We ask it in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.